week we preached on the looking well to the ways of your household. And we're going to take a look this week at the importance of eating not the bread of idleness. I titled the message, Idle Bread. Idle Bread. It doesn't matter if you spell it I-D-O-L or I-D-L-E. Idle Bread. Lord, bless us as we study Thy Word. Thank You, God, for a precious church, precious church family, God. I do pray, God, that everyone would be strengthened today. Our dear friends would be strengthened, God. We just thank You for Your goodness, Your mercy, long-suffering to this world, Lord, that You have not come to judge it yet, God. But we thank You, Father, and we do pray that we will be found worthy to escape all the things that are coming. Lord, let us hear and apply and do what's preached. That's of You, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Notice she looks well to the ways of her household, and the whole chapter, if you'll remember, is a teaching from this king's mother. So, the mother is teaching her son. She has taught him from the time he was little. One of the things she teaches him is how to discern between good and bad women. As your son gets older, that's an important thing for a son to learn. I mean, that's his whole life. He gets hooked up with a bad woman. That's a horrible thing, isn't it? Giving his strength unto a bad woman. But if he finds a virtuous woman, if God calls him to marriage, what a wonderful thing that would be. And one thing she wants him to know is you're not going to find it with the first thing that flirts with you. You understand that? She's a rare jewel. And she wants to teach her son what to look for. Now, I think she is living out what a virtuous woman is. Because if a virtuous woman teaches her children the law of kindness, if she looks well to the ways of her household, well, in this very chapter, she's looking well to her son's life by teaching him what a godly woman really is. One of the things we see is that the virtuous woman does not eat the bread of idleness. This is contrasted to looking well to the ways of her household. So, if you're looking well, you are not eating the bread of idleness. If you're eating the bread of idleness, you're not looking well. This phrase, the bread of idleness, can mean a few different things that are all related. But on the subject of idleness itself, idleness has been called the cushion on which the devil relaxes in your life. In other words, the Bible said, resist the devil, he'll flee, right? Okay, so it's activity that causes the devil to flee. But idleness, the devil's not going to flee idleness. He's going to set up shop. He's going to come with all his suitcases. He's going to move in. And idle mind's the devil's workshop, isn't it? He's coming with all of his luggage. He's going to move in. Throughout the whole book of Proverbs, we've seen idleness condemned over and over again. I believe it's fitting that we see this grand conclusion in chapter 31, where we just see diligence and industry and activity in the Lord presented to us in this virtuous woman. The idle woman, on the other hand, is the foolish woman in the book of Proverbs that we have seen from time to time. The foolish woman, if you remember, tears down her house by her hands. I want you to notice that it's her idle hands that tear down her house. This is very important for you to see. You don't have to do a whole lot to wreck your house. You don't have to do a whole lot at all. You don't have to do a whole lot to raise ungodly children. In fact, just do nothing. Just do nothing. You can tear down by just doing nothing. I want you to notice, Proverbs 14, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish woman plucketh it down with her hands. Now watch the hands here. Proverbs 24, I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, so he's foolish. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles and covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. What did this man do to end up with a field and with a wall broken down and covered with weeds? What did he do? Nothing. Oh, I tell you what, this will preach. This will happen to your children. Just do nothing. And they'll end up like this field. They'll end up like this foolish woman's house. This woman, I tell you what, she eateth not the bread of idols. She looks well to the ways of her household. All you have to do is leave your children to themselves and mother will be ashamed one day. This is because, listen now, everything naturally, automatically tends to decay. If you want to keep it from decaying, you've got to do something. Everything will naturally, automatically grow wild unless it's trained. You train a vine. You see it? You train your animals. You train your children. Otherwise, they grow wild. So one thing you've got to get out of your skull is the psychological satanic lie of the innate goodness of man. In other words, God is opposite. Everything that concerns God is up. The world goes one way, God goes the other. You know what the world says? Everything's evolving. Everything is moving upward. No, everything is decaying. They believe in the innate goodness of man. That's a psychological lie. The innate goodness of man says, your children are so wonderful and good, if you just leave them to themselves, they'll choose good. That's a lie. You leave your children to themselves, wickedness is bound in their heart, and you're going to see it spring up. And it's going to trouble you. So the Bible says, watch, look, train in the way that it should go. If you leave them to themselves, they'll bring mama to shame. That's what the Bible's saying. Let's examine this bread of idleness specifically now. Number one, the bread of idleness. This phrase can mean that you are eating someone else's bread in a slothful manner. Poole says the bread of idleness, that which is gotten by idleness or without labor. We see the bread of idleness in 2 Thessalonians 3. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat what? Their own bread. So the bread of idleness would be the bread that somebody eats that's not theirs because they will not work. In modern speech we call it mooching. In King James English it's called leeching. Proverbs 30, the horse leech has two daughters crying what? Give, give. In other words, this woman, she lives the leech off everybody. She leeches off of you emotionally. She's a needy person in a very selfish, unbiblical way. And she raises children. And what are her children? How are they raised? Give, give to me. Give me your toys. Give me attention. Give, 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 give. So, as we look at it in this way, the virtuous woman is not a taker in life. Everything doesn't revolve around her. She says, how does the Lord feel about things? I got to consider my husband. I got to consider my children. What's best for them? She sees herself as somebody that needs to contribute to her home. A lot of women get married. And they think that the whole purpose of marriage is to simply be provided for. And that's part of marriage. But if you take that in the wrong way, you can end up with a very selfish person, a very selfish wife who is needy. In other words, everything revolves around me. Now, I don't mean to say that this woman is a career woman in a worldly way. The virtuous woman, her career is her home. Amen? There are many career women that believe in eating their own bread in an independent worldly fashion. I'm not talking about that right now today. You'll see this prophesied in Isaiah 4. In the last days, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel, only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. In other words, you got women that want to be married just for the sake of marriage, but when they got married, they weren't about to give up anything. They've got their job, they got Big Brother, is their real husband, you know, this welfare state that you've got today. And basically she says, I really don't need you for any reason other than maybe like a woman would get a puppy dog, you know. I just need you as just a picture, you know. They get children in the same way. I just want the symbol of a child. I don't really want to raise children. I just like the picture. Well, in the last days, you're going to have a lot of women like that. They don't want to get married to contribute to their home. They don't want to get married to raise a family in godliness. I want you to see that the woman in Proverbs 31 does not have this spirit. She doesn't eat her own bread in this manner. But I want you to see that she is not the kind of woman that thinks she is on an eternal vacation. And she gets to sleep in every day and be on an eternal vacation. And it's the husband's job to work and provide her this vacation. Or maybe she sees herself as a babysitter. Not somebody that's to train her children, but I'm just here to make sure they don't hurt themselves with the stove, you know. But I really need to just sit in front of the TV, and I'm just here to just kind of watch the children like a babysitter who's on vacation, see. Is that what a mama is according to the Bible? All right. Well, I want you to see then that this woman sees herself as somebody who God has given responsibilities to in the home. And the man does his part and she does her part. But the phrase, the bread of idleness, can also refer to eating, not for strength so you can work, but eating in gluttony. You'll see the bread of idleness in this way in Ecclesiastes 10. Woe to thee, O land, when thy king is a child, and thy princes eat in the morning. Blessed art thou, O land, when thy king is the son of nobles, and thy princes eat in due season, for strength and not for drunkenness. By much slothfulness the building decayeth, and through idleness of hands the house droppeth through. All right, so what happens here is, if you do nothing, your house will decay. If you do nothing, your children will decay. The bread of idleness in this sense will be a wife who sits at home in front of the television and she goes back and forth to the refrigerator over and over and over again in a gluttonous fashion. Because she's bored, and she's sitting there watching that television with potato chips and donuts and hamburgers flash before your eyes every second. And so she keeps running to the refrigerator because food has become her comforter. These princes sit around. It's not saying it's wrong to eat breakfast. It's saying it's wrong to eat breakfast and keep eating breakfast and keep eating breakfast and keep eating breakfast. And all you're doing is sitting around eating in the morning when you should be working. You need to eat in due season, and the purpose of eating is for strength. But the bread of idleness in this sense would be somebody that uses food not to give them strength so they can work, but uses food as dope. Or maybe uses food as an end in itself. You know these folks. They get depressed, and food becomes their god to console them. They have no purpose in life. There's no order and schedule. Opportunities for doing good are wasted. It's like the land of Sodom in Ezekiel 16. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, abundance of idleness was in her and her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. Notice, gluttony, fullness of bread, and idleness go together, do they not? That's the old couch, the old sofa, and the refrigerator, and eating and eating and eating, and you just ate, but nevertheless you got to go eat again. And the more you sit there in front of that television or internet, the more you have to go eat, and you just sit there day after day after day. The children aren't learning the Bible. They're not being homeschooled. The house is out of order. The closet isn't clean. Everything's just falling apart. Because if you do nothing, what happens to everything? It begins to decay. Your marriage begins to decay. Your happiness begins to decay. Your emotional life begins to decay. Your spiritual life begins to decay. Your children begin to grow wild. Oh, I tell you what, that's a sad thing. The Bible says eating should be for working. And the Bible is so serious about this as it says if there's no work, there should be zero eating. If there's some work, there should be some eating. But the only thing that would justify eating in abundance would be if you're working in abundance. Notice, Proverbs 25, "Hast thou found honey? Eat so much as is sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled therewith and vomit it. Withdraw thy foot from thy neighbor's house, lest he be weary of thee and so hate thee." That's interesting. Why is that verse coupled with gluttony? Because the gluttonous person that eats not for strength, that they don't have any agenda, they're going to be idle. They're going to be tattlers. They're going to be at everybody's house bothering people. Bible says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men." Match your eating to your working. That's our goal. Let's match our eating to our working. And you know what? If you don't, your health will be damaged. It says you'll get sick and vomit. I believe that TV eating, eating just because you're nervous, eating because you're depressed, it leads to bad health. It does. Oh, but let's look here now. The bread of idleness can also refer to a specific kind of bread that idle people eat. What type of bread do idle people eat? Do you know the Bible says that lazy people are so grieved and lazy they don't even want to lift a spoon to their mouth? So idle, lazy people want fast food. I want it now. I don't want to have to prepare it. I want it in a package. In fact, I want to drive up to a window and have it made for me now. I want to smell it and I want to eat it quick. And not only that, I don't want to wait for it to digest before I get the blessing. I want it to hit my bloodstream and give me a high right when I stick it in my mouth. So I want convenient food. It's not even food. It's dope. The bread of idleness is really dope. You know why? Because you're not using it to eat to get strength in the long term. You're using it to get high. They want junk food. They want a cane sugar lift. I don't want to eat something and have it go through my body and have to be processed. I want to put it in my bloodstream. And just like a heroin addict puts something in his veins and feels that high, I want to put that food, so-called food, and I want it to touch my tongue, go into my bloodstream, raise my insulin, and I want to get high off of it right when I stick it in my mouth. I want a cane sugar high. I want a caffeine high. I want a nicotine high. They don't eat food. The bread of idleness is the bread, so-called bread, that people eat to get high off of. Isaiah 44, "He feedeth on ashes." Yeah. Man, you ought to eat food. Eat food. It'll do your body good to eat food. Not ashes. You say, "Well, I need it. I just feel like I need..." No, what you need is food. You need to take some dandelions and beets and put them in a blender and put your little grape juice in it and hit the on button and drink it. Wow! Nourishment for your body. But they say, no, I want ashes. It makes me feel good. Hosea, Ephraim feedeth on the wind. Yeah. Are you getting it? Inhaling? Give me a cigar so it can, the nicotine can go into my bloodstream, see? Job 30. Job talked about some people like this. Now they that are younger than I have me in derision, whose fathers I would have disdained to have set with the dogs of my flock. Yea, whereto might the strength of their hands profit me in whom old age was perished? So they're not living very long, are they? What do they do for their lifestyle? They cut up mallows by the bushes. Chocolate is in the mallow family. And juniper roots for their meat. They were the children of fools, yea, children of base men. They were viler than the earth. What's wrong with these people? They won't go and eat food like normal people. You know why? They said, we found out that if we take this juniper root and chew it, it gets me high off caffeine. Because the juniper root has caffeine in it. The Greeks said that sometimes their athletes would chew on it like they use steroids today to win the race, but it hurts you in the long term. You see that? So, Job is saying there are people that won't eat, they just get high off drugs all day. It's the bread of idleness, isn't it? It's the bread of idleness. Psalm 141, incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity, and let me not eat of their dainties. You know what? Their dainties are a bunch of drugs. It's drug food. You can't even call it junk food. It's dope food. Deuteronomy 32, for their vine is the vine of Sodom and of the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of gall. Their clusters are bitter. Their wine is the poison of dragons and the cruel venom of asps. What's he saying? They don't drink grape juice. They drink alcohol. They don't eat things that are going to make you stronger. They eat things that tear up their fruit, their body. They eat things that ruin their health. But the virtuous woman, she brings her fruit from where? She brings it from afar. She takes some thought about what she eats, doesn't she? I'm going to tell you something. If you do nothing, you'll be destroyed. If you just go with the flow, and whatever they tell you eat, whatever chemicals they pump out of their window that say, come here, pull over here, and eat our food, so-called food, and you start smelling those chemicals that have been put out in the air. You're like, oh, that smells good. I want something that's just going to get me high right when I stick it in my mouth. So you go over there and you eat that refined flour that's been sitting in that grease. And you put it in your mouth. And all of a sudden, it doesn't have to be digested. It just goes right to your bloodstream. And all of a sudden, it gets you that high that you get from eating that type of junk. I promise your health's going to suffer, folks. You're not going to make it to old age. This woman is virtuous. She doesn't eat to satisfy the lust of the moment. She eats for long-term health. What is this world addicted to? What are idle people addicted to? I tell you what, when they're sitting in front of that TV and they have to get up to that television over and over again, friend, they're not juicing raw veggies. They're eating Oreo cookies. You understand that? They want junk food. They want a blood sugar high. Isaiah 55, God says, why do you spend money for that which is not bread? And your labor, where did you get your money from? Where's your money come from? So whose money are you spending? So God wants an investment, doesn't He? He wants a return on His investment. So when He gives you money, and He says, I gave you that to provide for your food. If you're going to honor God, you're going to go take that food and invest in something that's going to make you stronger and healthier. Why do you spend money on that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? But it does satisfy me. No, it's not really satisfying you. It's making you feel sick. People go eat that, so they say, "Oh, I feel bad." You're not supposed to feel like that. You got your drug high, and that felt good to you for a moment, but then it leaves you feeling kind of sick. See, food's not supposed to be like that, folks. Your labor for that which satisfies not. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat you that which is good. Oh, God says He satisfies our mouth with good things, if we'll just read. Becker writes, and she said it so good, I didn't want to try to repeat it. She said, God designed the wheat kernel, as well as other grains, to perfectly store the nutrients within. Once broken open, as in milling, the nutrients immediately begin to oxidize. Within about 72 hours, 90% of over 30 nutrients are virtually gone from your bread due to oxidation. Every family in the ancient wilderness was gathering their manna daily. But the new milling process strips the B vitamins as well as about 24 other nutrients from the wheat kernels. Health officials began to urge the mills to return to producing whole wheat flour again. But they did not want to lose their profitable market of selling the German brand as cattle feed. Isn't that a shame? Instead, millers chose to enrich the white flour by replacing four vitamins, which are really synthetic drugs, because man can't create a vitamin. You understand that? Man can't make food in a laboratory. So I think we got it pretty close. That's why vitamin E is killing people. All these synthetic drugs, synthetic vitamins that people are taking, it's hurting them. It's giving them cancer. If you just go down the store, I'm going to take my multivitamin. You're killing yourself. But what they do is they take out all this stuff out of the bread, they pollute the bread, and then they say, well, we'll stick a few synthetic vitamins back in it. Four vitamins they replace for the 25 to 30 that are removed. And now we're plagued by many diseases that are directly related to our consumption of white flour. Appendicitis, heart disease, diabetes. Knowing this information, we were convicted to purchase an in-home grain mill. This enabled us to virtually eliminate white sugar from our home. Consequently, we have seen much less sickness. Common diseases, most of which could be avoided with a proper diet, of which real bread is the key. The testimony of other people that are writing in, of their improved health, began to come to us. Why could this bread, real bread, be so effective? Wouldn't that be something if you could just learn how to eat real bread and many of your troubles go away? Wouldn't that be something? What's bread a picture of? Jesus, the Word of God. Do you think God's going to allow that picture to be polluted and you just suddenly prosper in your health? No, you know why you like the white flour without it? Because you don't want to digest it. You don't want to work to digest it. You don't want to work to chew it. You want to get high off what you eat. So you want it soft and fluffy and refined. With a degree in food science, I have some understanding of biochemistry and microbiology. As I began to study biochemically the nutritional value of real bread, I was both amazed and in awe of our Almighty God. I read quite a few scientific studies last night. It was very interesting. I could now see why the sifting of the fiber and nutrients from the flour has directly or indirectly caused many of the common diseases that now plague our country. High cholesterol is indeed a common problem. Lecithin is a key nutrient in the metabolism of fats and is found in any unrefined food with oil. Yet the refining process of the food industry destroys the lecithin. Fresh milled wheat contains lecithin as well as B6, choline, all these essential nutrients for lecithin production. Grain fiber helps to remove fat from the walls of your colon. Fiber also promotes fresh bile production. Bile is made by the liver out of cholesterol. A high fiber diet causes the liver to not recycle the bile. If not recycled, the liver will draw from our stored cholesterol to produce fresh bile salts. Meaning what? Meaning your fat and everything in your body is being metabolized. It's being processed. It doesn't just sit there. Praise be to God for His infinite wisdom. I tell you, just leave things the way God made it. Just leave things the way God made it. Quit trying to improve upon God. I also discovered much concerning such problems as obesity, diabetes, cancer, appendicitis, and constipation. With constipation comes a high level of toxic buildup in our bodies, thus causing the response of mucus formation in our sinuses. They're finding out when you eat this refined mess, it doesn't feed the liver, it doesn't strengthen the liver, it ends up toxifying your whole body, toxifying your colon, toxifying your liver, and then all of a sudden you have all these toxins and you start getting sinuses and asthma and all of these things. As Americans eat their sugar-filled meals and snacks, which are devoid of fiber, their blood sugar levels rise rapidly. To keep the blood sugar levels in check, the pancreas is stimulated to produce insulin. Since the blood sugar level has risen so quickly, an abundance of insulin is produced, bringing the blood sugar level down too low too quickly. To counterbalance this problem, another hormone, glucagon, is produced to bring the blood sugar levels back up to normal. By this time, however, Americans have had their mid-morning coffee break and donut, or some other mid-meal sugary snack, and blood sugar levels soar again in a destructive cycle. The foods we eat are so stripped of fiber and nutrients that we are neither filled nor satisfied. The food we eat is the bread of our own idleness. For the pleasure of the moment, we now have sickness in our land in giant proportions. While doctors, lawyers, insurance companies, and the government have all played their part, the truth of the matter is we are to blame. What did God say? I'll put the sicknesses of the Egyptians on you. We are the sick and unhealthy people. Our health, isn't it something that the whole key to it? What is Satanism about? Living for the moment, having no concern for the future. So you want to find satanic eating? Eat for the feeling of the moment with no concern about the future. That's satanic eating. You understand that? It's very easy to see what Satanism is and apply to every area of life. Do it for the moment because it feels good. Don't worry about the future. What do they say? We're going to die anyway. Well, sure, that's what the dope addict said. That's what the fornicator said. They all say we're going to die. We might as well live it up. That's what the epicure says. God forbid that a Baptist would walk around and say we're going to die anyway. Our health does not depend, however, on doctors and medicine, but on how we live our lives. God has lovingly provided what we need. Are we willing to go gather it? The Nutrition Almanac says, without the God-created B vitamins, carbohydrate combustion cannot take place, and indigestion, symptoms of heartburn, and nausea can result. In other words, eating white flour, pasta, bread, all of these things, cookies, all of these things, that don't have the real food the way God intended it to be eaten, causes your blood sugar to rise, which causes your stress levels to rise. It stresses you out. Now your hormones have trouble. So now you have hormone problems because you eat bread every day that's not really bread. Now your liver becomes weakened and toxic. You get allergies and asthma and a host of other problems. And you don't need to look for some Chinese herb as much as we need to just simply repent of eating the American way. World's Healthiest Foods tells us that 60% extraction is the standard for most wheat problems in products in America, including breads, noodles, and pastas, baked goods, rolls, biscuits, cookies. This means that 40% of the original wheat grain was removed and only 60% is left. Unfortunately, the 40% that gets removed is where all your nutrients are. It's the bran and the germ and the wheat grain. In the process of making 60% extraction flour, over half of the vitamins B1 and 2 and 3 and E and folic acid and calcium and phosphorus and zinc and copper and iron and fiber are lost. Since not nearly as many of these B vitamins and iron are replaced as are removed, and they're replacing them with drugs, not with real vitamins, enriched seems an odd word to describe this process. The latest research is clearly supporting this vital distinction. Refined grains and the foods made from them are now linked not only to weight gain. They did a study at Harvard in some of these places, and they said, well, let's just feed a bunch of women whole wheat, and let's feed them refined wheat. And they began to watch, and they realized that those that ate the refined products began to gain weight in unhealthy ways. It's amazing what this stuff does. Not only that, they've been linked to a risk of insulin resistance. It's also been shown to function, whole wheat has been shown to function as an anti-cancer agent. Wheat bran is thought to accelerate the metabolism of estrogen in your body. So as you eat the refined grains, all this estrogen builds up in your body instead of being metabolized. Increasing consumption of whole grains and fish could reduce the risk of childhood asthma by about 50%. In children with a low intake of fish and whole grains, the prevalence of wheezing was almost 20%, but was only 4% in children with a high intake of both foods. Low intake of fish and whole grains are correlated with a much higher incidence of current asthma. The lead researcher commented, "The rise in the prevalence of asthma in Western societies may be related to changed dietary habits." We agree. The standard American diet is sorely deficient in the numerous anti-inflammatory compounds found in fish and whole grain. There's so much more, I won't labor it, but just listen to this now. Whole wheat, whole grains lower your inflammation. That has to do with everything. It guards against various colon cancers and diseases and constipation. And guess what? Now they're finding, all these years we said it's the fiber in whole wheat that's bringing such wonderful blessings. Now we're realizing it's not just the fiber, but there are these phytochemicals, these phytonutrients that we're finding that actually protect against cancer. So you eat whole grains, God protects you against cancer. You eat refined grains, and you get heart disease and cancer and diabetes. As simple, you can't just go to the store, "Well, this is wheat bread, I get the wheat bread." It's got to say whole wheat, or it's not real bread. And I'm not going to get into the fact of the bleach and chemicals they use and all of that other stuff, but as we close, one final thing. When the Bible says she eats not the bread of idleness, often eating and tasting are symbols of experiencing. So ultimately it's saying this woman who eats not the bread of idleness is not going to experience the consequences of laziness. She looks well to her household. She is not going to experience all the consequences that a lazy woman would experience. What are the consequences? Just look at the children. A lazy woman who allows the television to raise the child so she can sit over there and do all the little things she thinks she needs to do that are important, all those little activities that she wants to do that she thinks are important. When she does that, what's going to end up happening is she's going to reap the consequences of that in her children. She's going to eat the bread of idleness. Eating the bread means experiencing the consequences of your actions. As it says in Proverbs 1, "They shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices." Well, what type of fruit does laziness bring you? Everything begins to break. Everything begins to fall apart. Proverbs 14, "The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways." He's going to eat the bread of his backsliding. Job 4, "Even as I have seen that they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same." What happens if you plow idleness? You're going to reap it. You sow idleness, you'll reap idleness. You'll reap destruction. Isaiah 3, "Say ye to the righteous that it will be well with them, for they shall eat the fruit of their doing." That's good, isn't it? She's not going to eat the fruit of idleness. She's going to eat the fruit of watching over her household well. Jeremiah 6, "Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts." What then is the fruit of idleness? The curse of nothingness. What is the curse of nothingness? Proverbs 10, "He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand." Proverbs 19, "An idle soul shall" what? "Suffer hunger." Proverbs 20, "The sluggard will not plow." He has an excuse by reason of the cold. "Therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing." I tell you what, we better get into plowing spiritually. So when harvest time comes and we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, we'll have something there. And we better get into plowing physically in our lives. But what's the sluggard going to have because of his nothingness? Nothing. You know what nothing brings you at the judgment seat? Something. Nothing at the judgment seat will bring you something. The woman who looks after her household, watching over her children, she will not eat the bread of idleness. She will not eat the consequences of idleness. She will not experience the consequences of idleness. She will experience the consequences of a diligent life. What are those consequences? Well, it tells you plainly in verse 28, her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. What do her children do? They grow up in godliness. I believe it's probably saying that when she walks into a room, they get up out of the chair. They honor her as a queen. They get up and they rise up before the hoary head, and they come before their mother with respect and honor. Can a woman ask for anything greater? That her children would rise up, and when you get down the road, they would say, Mama, thank you so much for loving me and not loving yourself. Thank you, Mama, for really loving me and looking after me. It made me mad when you protected me, and I thought you were overprotective. But now I look back and thank you so much, Mama, that you saved me from what everybody else was experiencing in my generation. Thank you, Mama. You are blessed, Mama. Thank you. I tell you what, that is going to be a precious thing, and that's what you get for not eating the bread of idleness, but of looking after your household well. It says in Proverbs 29, the rod and reproof give wisdom. That's the fruit that you get. Wisdom in your children. Who wants a wise child? I would like wise children. Amen? You want wisdom. How do you raise a wise child? Not a wild child, a wise child. The rod and reproof. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. You can't go anywhere without him going crazy. You can't go over anybody's house without him going crazy. You can't rest at home without your children going crazy. Your children are a stress. They're a bother. They're wild little heathens. Isn't that right? They run around and go crazy. My children see them sometimes in stores. They're screaming and going crazy and going wild. My little girls, little Sienna. Say, that mama doesn't whip them. That's right. Boy, she needs to do something with those little ones, doesn't she, Daddy? Yes, she does. Proverbs 23, as we close, thy father and thy mother shall be glad. Oh, she doesn't eat the bread of idleness. She eats gladness. And she that bare thee shall what? Rejoice. You know what the bread of diligence brings you? You know what diligence brings you? It brings you the bread of diligence, which is rejoicing. You get to rejoice in the wisdom of your children. You get to rejoice in their godliness and their faithfulness. I tell you what. Did y'all have as much fun listening as I did preaching? I think I'll preach that one again. Bread of idleness. You know why it's so serious? I hate to see people cursing themselves. Well, you can just do one little thing and start experiencing blessings. It's just sad, isn't it? We need to change our whole view of food and quit looking at it as an addiction that you got to get high off of. I'm not going to preach it again. I just said I'd like to. Let's close in prayer. Dear Father,